Shalom, this is Rav Alex Israel. Welcome to Talmidim, alumni and friends of Yeshivat Eretz Tzvi. We're going to talk about Shlishi and Revi of Parshat Shelach Lecha. And of course, this is where the Meraglim get their punishment, and the whole of Am Yisrael gets their punishment of 40 years in the Midbar. And I'd like to begin with some questions. I'm already going to say at the outset that the main idea that I'm going to talk about is not my own. It comes from a famous Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevich, and it is found in his book Sichot Musar. And it is a very powerful piece which really has shaped my thinking and my behavior. So I think it's worthwhile sharing with you. And I'm going to relate to three questions at the beginning. The first is not one of Rav Chaim Shmulevich's questions, but I'll put it this way. Why are the whole of Am Yisrael punished for the sins of the Meraglim? If 12 people made a mistake, and even if the people cried and said they wanted to go back to Egypt, it wasn't really their fault. They were relying on misinformation. Why should the whole of Am Yisrael be punished for an entire generation because of the sins of 12 evil men? Question two. You know, we have an amazing pasuk in this week's parsha. It's a pasuk that we recite in Slichot all the time. It says, "Salachna la'ovon hamazeh kegodel chazdehecha, v'ka'asher nasata la'amazeh mimisrayim v'alheina v'sh..." And then we say, "Vayomeh Hashem salachti kidvarecha." I read it in the tune of Slichot, because of course we quoted in Slichot that Hashem forgives us. Salachti kidvarecha. But look at the next verse. The next pasuk, Perek Yudalad, pasuk Chav Aleph. V'ulam, however, chai ani, v'imalech vod Hashem et kol haaretz, ki kol anashim haro'im et kvodi v'tototai, eshasiti mitzrayim v'mibar v'anasi oti zed eser pa'amim, v'lo shamu b'koli, im yiru et haaretz ashenishpati l'avotam, v'chol v'na'atzai lo yira'uha. In other words, I've forgiven you, but as I live and my spirit fills the world, all the people who have tried me 10 times in the Midbar will not see the land. Were we forgiven or were we not forgiven? If we were forgiven, we should go into the land. If we're not forgiven, why do you say Salachti Kidvarecha? A third question. When Chazal talk about this particular parsha, they talk about Dibat Haaretz. They talk about Lashon Hara over the land. In fact, many will talk about the juxtaposition of the story of Miriam and Aaron speaking negatively at the end of Parshat Baalotcha, negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the same way the Meraglim spoke negatively about a land. But really, can one genuinely talk Lashon Hara about a land? Does a land blush? Can a land's reputation be besmirched? What do we mean when we talk about talking Lashon Hara about rocks, hills, valleys, trees, rivers? Can you talk Lashon Hara about a land? And I'm going to try and answer all the questions with the same single idea. Let's begin. We all know the statement, we've probably been taught it in school many times, that when you talk Lashon Hara, three people are killed or three people are seriously affected. The speaker, the listener, and the person who is spoken about. And this is a perplexing statement of Chazal. I understand that the speaker is guilty. Of course, he spread evil rumors, lies. He has maligned somebody's reputation. I understand how the person who is spoken about can be killed, because of course he is the one, I don't mean he is put to death, but I mean his reputation has been killed. He is not going to be able to take back those things. Once something is spread on the internet or is published in a newspaper, it's not so easily retracted. And even when it's retracted, the original piece of information makes the greatest splash. And therefore, one would say that I can understand that the person who spoke it, he's evil. The person who is spoken about, well, his reputation is shot. But what about the listener? He didn't know what the person was going to say to him. He had no clue when he was conversing with somebody that he was going to hear something that was negative about Ploni Almoni. So why, just because I heard Lashon Hara, maybe I didn't even know what I was going to hear? So why am I guilty? Did I do anything wrong by listening? I had no clue. But the answer is quite simple. Of course, when I hear something negative about somebody, or really hear anything about somebody, it shapes my perception of them. My next interaction with that person will be really clouded, will be framed by what I heard about them. If I heard they're a really jolly, nice person, I'll anticipate that. But if I heard that they're sort of selfish and very snooty, I'll be looking for that too. And therefore, if I'm a listener through no fault of my own, my whole perspective is also altered in a sort of, you know, unfixable way, because that will always be in the back of my mind. And I wonder if that's happened to you. It certainly happened to me. The people I heard about a particular individual, even positive things. I remember once I heard about a particular girl, that she was perfect and amazing and intelligent and what have you. And then somebody offered me to go out with her, and I said, no way, I'm not going out with that girl. She's way too perfect. I'd never met her. And it's interesting how when people tell you about other people, you know, it really clouds your interaction with them. By the way, this is true about anything. Imagine you're sitting at the Shabbat table and you're talking about a particular school or a particular community rabbi or a particular shul. And somebody says about that shul, ooh, well, that shul, it's just a fashion show. That shul, I don't know, they're all a bunch of lefties. That shul, I don't know what they'll say. That means that the next time you go into that shul, you're looking for it. You're on the hunt. And to a certain degree, you might have got a great deal out of that community. But now that you've heard this particular slander, this particular perspective, it's sort of clouded the way you go into that institution. If a child hears about a teacher being stupid, what happens when he becomes, you know, a student in their class, or if he hears that that teacher is a crazy disciplinarian? They're going to be nervous going into the class. They're not necessarily going to give that given teacher an opportunity. And therefore, really, we need to be exceedingly careful how we talk around our Shabbat tables and in our social interactions about people, and how we talk about teachers, rabbis, and anyone who we're likely to come into contact with, because anybody who's listening will then have their perspective altered forever from the way we talk about them. And in this regard, one certainly can imagine Lashon Hara about a land. Because of course, if somebody talks negatively about Israel, if you've ever spent time, if you grew up in a Zionist home, and they spoke about Israel as really a place of incredible promise and incredible freshness, and we're building a Jewish country, and wow, the army is such a blessing. You'll come to Israel and you'll see every chayal, and you'll be so excited. You'll be so excited about the opportunity of eating kosher food on every corner, and the excitement of building a Jewish country. And you won't, you'll sort of overlook the blemishes, because you'll be filled with a perspective of blessing. But if you hear about Medina Israel, oh gosh, that's a backwater, half of things don't work there. You know, the food's so oily, I don't know, you'll be looking out for that, and maybe that's what you'll see more than the other. Of course, I'm sure people can come along with their own fresh perspective, but the question is, you know, what has sort of framed my reference point? So in answer to our first question, of course, you can talk Lashon Hara about the land, and this might explain why the whole of Bnei Israel couldn't go into the land. Hashem says, Salachti kidvarecha, you're right, Bnei Israel, it wasn't your fault. I will forgive your sin. But you're still not going into the land. Why? Because you are the people who cried all night. You are the people who said, don't send us to that land. We're all going to get killed. Our children are going to get taken captive. We're all going to be massacred. How can a people like that, where that is their foundational impression of Eretz Israel, how will they have the confidence to fight? The minute they come across a very difficult battle, they won't have the confidence. They won't have the ability to persist and persevere in the battlefield. And therefore God says, I can't let this people in. This people, because they've cried all night and heard it's an Eretz Ochelet Yoshveha, when they come across formidable odds and formidable obstacles in settling the land, they'll say, oh, this is what they told us, instead of saying, whoa, this is a land of promise. Let's find a way to uncover that promise in what we're doing. And therefore, even though Salachti Kedvarecha, Chai Ani, as I live, these people will not see the land. That is why, even though they are not to blame, this is not so much collective punishment, but God says, I want to make the project of entering Eretz Yisrael a success. I want the Jewish people, when they eventually do go in, to look at the land as the land of blessing, as the land of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as the land of the past and the land of their future, as the land of God, as the land where they can realize their potential. And for this, I need a people to enter the land who come in with a clean slate, or even better than a clean slate, with exactly that sense of anticipation and excitement as they enter the land. And now we see why this whole generation had to sit it out, had to wait, and they had to die out in the Midbar. And it would be the new generation who grew up with a different set of assumptions who would indeed enter the land. I find this a powerful message because it really makes us think carefully about the way that we should talk about Israel, about institutions, schools, and what have you, people, anyone, because we never know who's listening and we never know how we might besmirch their reputation and, if you want, how we might close off opportunities which could be opportunities of blessing, really fruitful opportunities which people could have with that individual, that institution, and what have you, by the way that we talk. So let that be a warning and a reminder to all of us to talk in positive ways and to be very careful what we say. Thank you. Have a great day.